Hi, this is Scott Wilkinson, host of Home Theater Geeks. In episode 189, I interview a bunch of people at a bunch of booths on the show floor of CES 2014. So stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Home Theater Geeks is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Home Theater Geeks with Scott Wilkinson, recorded January 7th, 2014, episode 189, live from CES 2014. Hey everybody, Scott Wilkinson here, the Home Theater Geek and Director of Content at AVSForum.com. This week I'm coming to you live from CES in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. We're going to be going into the show floor and talking to a bunch of manufacturers in their booths about what is new here at the show. So come on, let's go. Hey, I'm here in the Sony booth with Phil Jones, training manager for Sony, and we've got some interesting news to talk about TVs, don't we?
Yes, we do. I'm sure as you walk around the show, you see tons and tons of 4K TVs. Big buzz. So what's behind me is our flagship 4K Ultra HD TV. And what we want to stress is there's more to 4K than just resolution.
I have always said that, so I'm really happy to hear you say that as well.
Yes, because if you think about it, if you look at an open window, what makes it look different than looking at a TV is there's more resolution, but there's also way more color and a larger range of brightness. So from the bright sun to my black jacket can all be seen with your eye when you look out a window. And this TV addresses all three, and most of the competitors are still working on number one.
Resolution. Now, you did resolution 2 years ago when you first came out with Ultra HD.
Exactly. And then we tackled color last year with our Triluminous. And the way we explain that is by using a new backlight system, we can show you more colors. Simple. They have a little box of crayons, and we have the big box with the pencil sharpener. So you can actually see more colors that are actually in reality.
And what's really interesting about Triluminous is that it's based on a technology called quantum dot.
Well, quantum dot is a generic term. But basically, it uses like nanocrystals, and those nanocrystals can give you the effect of having a different type of backlight, which gives you that bigger box of crayons.
Exactly. And so that was last year. Mm-hmm. Now, this year, you're addressing that third category, which I also feel is very important and hasn't been given enough attention. And here I'm again glad to know that Sony's doing that.
Exactly. So we talk about that brightness range.
Or dynamic range.
We like to say brightness range because you want that black. You want that inky plasma-like black, but then you want that dazzling, bright, sparkling whites. And that's one of the reasons why people are looking towards technologies like OLED to achieve those goals. Well, now we have figured out a new technology called Extended Dynamic Range Pro that gives you that dazzling difference in brightness range that was only dreamed about a year ago.
Now, it gives you a brighter white output and a darker black as well.
Exactly. The way that it works is if you look at a show, most of the time only certain parts of the TV are on. So there'll be black areas or areas that are a little dimmer. Yeah. We take the TV uses a full array backlighting system, so we have these different zones. If a zone is off or dim, I could take that power and use it to turbo boost the brighter area. So now I can push the black down. It's like putting blackout curtains in my room, and then putting a brighter bulb in the other one. So now I can push the brightness range in both directions.
So how much does it expand the brightness range from a conventional TV?
Because we're going both directions, we said that this TV has three times the brightness range of a normal LCD TV. Now, this is our flagship, and it has the Pro version. There's another one called Extended Dynamic Range, which is found in another generation of 4K TV, and our flagship HD TV that increases that brightness range by two times.
Gotcha. So how many new TVs are you announcing at the show?
Well, we have a full lineup of HD and 4K TVs. In fact, we used to have two series of 4K TVs. Now we have three. And they range from sizes from 85 all the way down to 49. So based on your budget, your desire, your room size, we'll have a solution for you.
And are you doing anything with curved screens? Because there's so many curved screens here at the show.
Yes, I'm sure you're aware that Sony actually sold a curved LCD display. We were the first people last year with our 65S990. Right. Curve is very nice, but we looked at it and we said, okay, what is going to give that customer the most impact when it comes to the experience of viewing today? And we truly believe this combination, the detail, the color, and the contrast is the best way to go for the best experience at home.
And so your new TVs are all flat, in other words?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, one other question for you. Sony not only makes TVs, but they also make 4K cameras, and also you've launched last summer a 4K UHD content distribution service. Any news in that front?
Yes. One thing is that when we say for 4K Ultra HD experience, you need more than a display. You need a display, you need content, you need distribution. We already addressed the distribution for last year. We have currently have 140 movies available in native 4K, as well as episodic TV like the first three or four seasons of Breaking Bad, but we're also working with other providers. We are helping broadcasters like ESPN shoot in 4K, so when the broadcasters finally do turn on the switch, there's already content available. And we're partnering with all of the other services like YouTube and Netflix 4K, which Netflix 4K is, and both of those services are going to be available very, very soon. In fact, YouTube 4K, we just introduced a 4K camcorder for $2,000. So now there'll be people who are going to be shooting on those cameras, and now they have a place to store and share their content.
Now, I noticed that the TVs have a new shape to them. Tell me about that.
Yes, we have a new wedge design on the television set. What we've noticed is a lot of TVs, they appear to be thin, but it's actually an illusion. As you go down, it's very, very thin, but at the bottom, there's a little bump in the back. I like to say a little junk in the trunk that actually prevents the TV from being actually placed against the wall. So what we did was we took advantage of that space. We did a gradual from slim to wide. That gives us more space in the television set. There's a couple of benefits for that. That extra space is used for larger speaker enclosures. We want people to buy outboard audio systems, but the fact is the majority of TVs are sold without sound systems. So this gives you a much, much better sound system than what you would get in a normal TV. Like this TV actually has the speakers and the front-firing speakers, but even our other lineup, like our flagship HD TV that uses this wedge, has a rear-firing subwoofer that we can put in that space. So the sound is better.
Certainly, the super thin TVs end up having super thin sound.
Exactly.
So this addresses that.
Exactly. Fuller sound. On top of that, it makes the TV more stable. Because the weight is at the bottom, you don't have to have as thick of as wide of a stand. So the TV actually goes closer to the wall, and it's more solid and more safe. It's safer.
And now,
remember, 4K TVs are much, much bigger. Most people are looking at 65, 70, 79s. So the stand, instead of having to be this wide, can now only be this wide.
But this seems to go against the trend towards making thinner and thinner TVs. Are you concerned about that?
Well, we believe that if you look at the style of the TV, it's beautiful. And I always say no one looks at a TV from the side. If I hang it on the wall, it sits away from the wall the same distance as that other TV, but I get that sound quality advantage and I get the stability and the construction advantages.
Hey, we're in the Hisense booth at CES, and I'm talking with Don Evans, the Director of Program Management at Roku. And there's some big announcement here with Roku and Hisense, right?
Yes. So this year we just introduced at CES the Roku TV, which is a continuation of the very successful Roku streaming of internet video players. So we're trying to bring the ease of use for Roku to the TV set. So it's been designed around the way people like to watch TV. So typically when you walk up to a TV, you're either going to listen to music, you want to watch a movie, you want to stream internet video. So we've simplified the entire user interface. So as you see, over on the left-hand pane, we have the home screen. You can never get lost with a Roku TV, right? So home screen, if you want to move up and down to choose movies, you can go to TV shows. We have cross-provider search, which is a nice feature.
So it's this looks much like the same interface as the separate Roku box, right?
Exactly the same, except what we've done is bring all the user inputs straight away to the home menu, right? So switching inputs is as simple as going over and selecting whatever input you want. No more input button, very simple 20-button remote, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to watch Blu-ray, for instance, Blu-ray is not plugged in right. on this particular TV.
Right.
So we don't let you get lost, right? We say, Blu-ray is not plugged in, but we'll give you other options.
Fantastic. Well, this is really great. Roku is, of course, one of the leaders in streaming aggregators.
Correct.
And now you have it built into the TV. Is this the first TV that you've built into?
This and TCL are the first TVs we've built into. Correct.
Okay, next in the Hisense booth is Sanj Sirpal, the head of the user experience and design at Jamdeo, which is a part of Hisense, right?
Correct, that's correct. Jamdeo is a part of the Hisense family. We've been with Hisense for 2 years. We are their innovation arm for their smart TVs.
And what you're introducing at the show is the Vita Smart TV platform.
That's correct. Vita Smart TV platform is a platform which we've designed. It was first introduced in China. Now we've moved to North America. It's actively being produced right now. It is trying to simplify the smart experience.
Now, I was at the press conference yesterday, and one thing that impressed me was basically you want to be able to do as much as possible with a single button push.
Correct. We wanted to come up with a very simple way of accessing this device. This device is actually something that a lot of people use in your home. So we looked at the different types of environments and different types of people that come into that space. And if you make it easy for your mom to get to or your brother to get to without having to learn that remote control, then you've got to win.
Seriously. Well, we're taking a look here at the, I guess this is the home page, and you got a tiling thing going on?
So we don't actually have a concept of a home page. This is an integrated, ready-enabled application. This is the media center. There is no concept of home. The home is actually something that slips out and comes back in. So it's not an actual desktop that you go to. It's very appliance-like, because that's the audience, that's what they're used to.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, and as your slogan says, it's not just smart, it's brilliant, and it seems to be to me.
Well, we try our best. I mean, we really believe in the product, and we work very closely with our Hisense group, and Hisense believes in making this product a huge success in North America.
Well, I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Hey, look who I ran into. It's Joel Silver, the president of the Imaging Science Foundation. Hey, Joel, how's CES going for you?
CES is fantastic this year. These are wonderful times.
Yes, indeed they are. Now, you brought with you a friend, Paul Chen, who is the president and editor of Home Theater Technology Magazine in China and an ISF trainer in China for the last 10 years.
Right. We are a magazine and very exciting for the show. And love it. Many things connected with us. Yes.
So Hisense is a Chinese company. And making a big splash, I think. The Chinese companies like Hisense and TCL, well-known in China. I think Hisense is the number 5 TV manufacturer in the world. Did I get that right?
I can't say what the number 5 or other, but it's a very, very big company in China, yes.
Yeah. And China is a very large and growing market for TVs, right?
Yes, sure, of course.
China, mostly Mr. Chen's dealers that he works with in the magazine do mostly projection.
Really?
So his business is the high end of video. They run THX trainings as well, so he's audio and video in mainland China. So we've taught in Guangzhou, Hong Kong, Shanghai, and Beijing, and we rotate over the years. So his dealers are very well read, and his customers study meticulously. They understand video, and his writing is technical. So,
well,
magazine in China.
If I understood Chinese, I would definitely read it because I like to get as much technical information as I can. Thank you so much, and best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Thank
Joel.
You. Have a good show.
Thanks. Okay, still in the Hisense booth, we're now going to be talking about TVs, and they got a lot of them here in the booth. I'm talking with Jonathan Frank, the VP of Marketing at Hisense, and we're standing right next to an OLED TV.
We do, and it's not just an OLED. It's actually an OLED with a built-in soundbar. So as TVs get thinner, the sound gets worse. Speakers get smaller. People aren't happy.
It's really true.
Yeah, it's definitely. We solved that dilemma by integrating a soundbar. So when the stand is on a table, it actually bounces off the table and goes into the room. The best part about it is that to hang it, you don't take the stand or soundbar off. You fold the stand back. The soundbar slides down under the TV, and you hang one piece on your wall. No wires, nothing else.
Beautiful, beautiful. This is a 55-inch. You got any other sizes?
55 is the only one right now.
Okay.
Very good. And then you also make OLEDs without soundbars as well?
We do. We have one other model that does not have the integrated soundbar.
And what is the pricing on these?
We're yet to announce that.
Very good. Well, next up, we want to go take a look at Ultra HD and some very interesting technology called Quantum Dot. Now we're standing in front of a giant television, a giant flat panel, the 85-inch ultra high definition, which so many people are coming out with this year.
Exactly. We actually launched our first ultra high definition earlier this year. So this is definitely the next generation.
Yeah, we saw it at CES last year, and Hisense was one of the many, and now one of the many more. But you guys got a head start on things.
We did, and we actually perfected our technology, and this year are very proud to introduce this one, the 85. So it has wide color gamut. It also has quantum dot technology.
I wanted to talk to you about that for just a second, because that is a very exciting technology. Quantum dots basically is a nanotechnology that takes blue LED light and converts it into red and green depending on the size of these nanoparticles.
Yes, definitely. You're right on with that.
Okay. And the other interesting thing about this is expanded color gamut. Is there a defined gamut that it's expanded out to, or is it just wider than 709?
It's wider than 709. The best part about it is that the hues and the colors that you're watching, so a customer speaking to them is that the reds are redder. But when you have red on top of red on top of red, so if you had a red room with red candles and candlesticks, you would actually see the details and the differences between the reds rather than having the TV blow out.
Now, will the HDMI input allow a wider color gamut signal to come in?
It does.
Well, that's very important for the upcoming UHD, Ultra HD signal format, which I hope will include a wider color gamut and also a wider dynamic range.
It does, and it is H.265 already.
Oh, excellent. So it's got H.265 decoding, HDMI 2.0, I assume.
Correct.
And we probably don't know the price on this one yet either.
No, not in this one. But it does come in flashy rose gold for you.
Fantastic. Thanks so much.
No problem. Thank you.
Super Joey. Super Joey. Wait. Hang on. I got to get a picture with this guy. Yeah, it's Super Joey, the new Joey from Dish Network. And I don't think you're going to be talking to me, are you? No, I didn't think so. Okay. anyway, yes, adds an extra tuner, lets you record up to 8 channels at once. Holy smokes, a superhero. Okay, we're in the LG booth. I'm talking with Tim Alessi, the director of new product development, and there's a bunch of new TV news here, isn't there?
Oh, there's plenty of new TV news here.
Starting with what we're standing in front of, this gigantic 98-inch Ultra HD TV.
That's right. That's only one of 12 new Ultra HD TVs that we're introducing this year.
And boy, last year it was a few. This year it's a ton.
It's a ton, and that's not even the biggest.
Really?
No, absolutely not. We have a 105-inch Ultra HD TV on top of that as well.
We'll have to go take a look at that. But what can you tell us quickly about the Ultra HDs for this year?
Well, we have a range of screen sizes from 49 inches to the 105 and everything in between. All of them have, you know, what Ultra HD delivers, 4 times the resolution of standard HD. They're all smart TV featuring our new WebOS platform. And they're going to give the just beautiful picture quality for people.
Fantastic. And it's HDMI 2.0, I assume, with HEVC decoding built in?
Yes, absolutely. It'll have all the latest standards for content protection, for high frame rate, so that you get the best of all kind of new content that's coming on the market.
That's just great. Now, also in the booth are the OLED TVs, and those are also Ultra HD.
Some of them are, yes. We have 5 new OLED sets. 3 of them are Ultra HD. Most of them are curved, but we also have one really unique product, a flat one that we call a gallery OLED that has a frame built around it, so it looks like art on the wall, and it can actually display art, photos, and iconic paintings when it's not in use as a regular TV.
Wow, let's go take a look. We're standing in front of the flat gallery OLED TV, and this is beautiful with the frame around it you mentioned before. And we're displaying some pictures, some artwork here.
That's right. It's a 55-inch TV, fully functional as a regular TV, of course, smart TV, the whole bit. But when it's not in use as a TV, it's like art on the wall. It has some preloaded pictures that you see here, or you can put your own family photos on it as well. The other cool thing is the frame around it houses a 100-watt speaker system with dual subwoofers, so you get powerful sound as well as a beautiful picture.
That's great. Now, this is 1080p, right?
Yes, this is a full HD 1080p OLED. And it's already been honored with a CES Innovation Award for this.
Fantastic. Well, listen, we also want to take a look at the Ultra HD OLEDs. Let's go over there. So now we're at the Ultra HD OLEDs, and these are curved.
Yes, all of them are curved, ranging in size. There's a 55, 65, and our flagship, the 77-inch.
Now, the 77-inch, or one of them, has another extra special feature.
Well, beyond the 77-inch, the last one behind us here also is flexible. So it can be curved or flat, and it's controlled from the remote control. Takes a few seconds just to get to that gentle curve from flat, so the user can now decide what they want to use for cinematic or just watching the news. Maybe you don't want it in curve.
Now, that probably adds a price premium to things.
Well, that product is not, that doesn't have a model number yet. That's, our regular fixed curve 77 will be our flagship for this year. But the flexible certainly is on the roadmap for future years, and we were anxious to show it off here at CES this year.
Do you have any pricing on any of these?
Pricing's not available yet. They'll be introduced throughout the first half of 2014. So as we get a little closer to the launch date, we'll be able to announce firm pricing.
It looks like OLED is finally taking off after so many years of promise.
Yeah, we were really excited about that because LG's really poised to be a leader in this category. I think that, you know, there's a big void now that plasma is starting to fade away. There's a lot of videophiles out there who really appreciated the black levels, the color reproduction, and the motion reproduction of plasma. And I think OLED's going to be a perfect fit for those customers.
Now, is LG remaining in the plasma business? You were one of three, now one of two companies that are making plasma.
Yes, we'll remain in plasma. We have a lineup. We have one carryover model, but five new models for 2014, ranging from 42-inch HD to 60-inch Full HD.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. Hey, I almost forgot the 105-inch. This is a remarkable television. Tell us about it.
Sure. You don't want to forget that. Well, this is our largest TV. It's a 105-inch, 21x9 Ultra HD LCD set. And, you can see just by the sheer size, the curve makes it a true cinematic experience.
The curve here makes a lot of sense to me because the screen is big enough, and it curves like a commercial cinema. And it makes a great deal of sense, particularly in the 21x9 or 2.35 roughly to 1 aspect ratio.
Right, yeah, and that's what we're aiming at. For a real movie fan, this is going to be almost like bringing a true cinematic experience to the home. And as you can hear from behind us, it also packs a punch with 150 watts of audio power. And we worked with Harman Kardon on the audio system to make sure that we were delivering a real high-quality experience.
It looks beautiful. It sounds great. Best of luck with it. I'm now in the Samsung booth talking with Scott Cohen, the National Product Training Manager here. And, Scott, you got a lot of TV announcements at CES.
Absolutely. Here at CES 2014 in the Samsung booth, curved is very big, and UHD is very big and popular as well. So we're seeing curved TVs in both high definition and ultra high definition. So it's really exciting for all of our potential customers.
Not only that, but we're seeing that in LED illuminated LCD TVs as well as OLED.
Correct. We're showing here at the booth LED TV or LCD TV with LED backlit that's curved, and we're as well showing OLED, the newer technology, curved as well. And we're taking it one step further. Here at Samsung, although curved is big this year, we're still offering flat. Flat's still very popular. And what we're showing is some great concept pieces called bendable. We're showing an 85-inch bendable LED TV, and we're showing smaller bendable OLED TVs. These are TVs that will be flat, and then with a button on the remote, you'll be able to bend them to the same curve as our curved TVs. And there's actually five steps of a curve. So when it comes to curved and flat, there's a little bit of a taste involved. So depending on what your taste is, you can go bent, or curved rather, or flat.
Now, are these going to be actual products that are coming to market, or are they more concept pieces?
Well, the 85-inch is in its final stage before mass production. So it is something we can see. Although we have not announced a date or a price or even a model number on it, it is something that may or may not come to market this year.
I gotcha. Now, right behind us is the 105-inch 21x9, which is mighty impressive.
It's very impressive. 21:9 is a very widescreen TV. What many people may not realize is that is the aspect ratio of 2:35:1. So if you are watching movies on your 16:9 TV that have letterbox currently, they'll fit perfectly on this TV. But then concurrently, if you're watching a 16:9 movie on this TV, you'll get the black bars. However, you will have a choice to upscale it to fill our 21:9 screen perfectly. Or what I'm really excited about is you can shift the image over to one side and then use the blank space to open up the web browser. And with our TV and technology, our web browser will actually self-populate with a search relevant to whatever you're watching on TV.
That's right. It's contextual, and it also is based upon it learns your preferences and so on.
Right. Samsung Smart TVs last year, we introduced something called S-Recommendation, where the TV views your viewing habits and makes recommendations based on what you're watching. And using that technology, we are able to then open up a web browser and we'll know what's on the screen and we'll be able to self-populate it. But we also went into YouTube and did the same thing. So you'd be able to use that blank space on the screen for YouTube and it would self-populate. And I know some people are wondering, if I'm watching TV, why would I open YouTube? Well, you know, maybe you're watching a sporting event and you want to see a highlight reel or maybe an interview or something like that. You'd be able to do that.
I can also think of another application. If you're watching a Blu-ray or something, you could open up the director's commentary or something into the blank area.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of ideas and ways you could use that space, but with the web browser or YouTube, you'll be able to get text information, web information, or even videos. You know, we're aware that many people now, while watching TV, are holding a handheld device, maybe a phone or a tablet. So many of our TVs now are going to give you the ability to open up the web browser or YouTube while regular TV is running. It's not just for the 21:9. It's going to be on our 9 series and 8 series TVs as well.
Now, in addition to the bendable ones, you have certain models that are all just fixed curved and other that are fixed flat, I think, giving the customer a choice.
Yeah, correct. I mean, my preference is curved. But for someone whose preference is flat, we're offering up plenty of flat panels still here in 2014. So the customer's really going to have their choice. And with the bendable technology possibly coming in the future, why can't we have both?
Now, also in the booth is 110-inch, which is, I think, tied for the largest screen here. Last year, TCL had 110-inch. A couple of companies did. Hisense, I think, as well. I think this is your first 110, though.
We actually did show the 110-inch last year. However, now it is available for purchase. The 110-inch is a 16:9, so it's the format we're familiar with. And it comes available in our Timeless Gallery stand, which has the audio and some of the smart TV features built right in. So you get a really nice 2.1 audio system in the frame while keeping the bezel very small.
If it's available in the market, dare I ask what it costs?
Well, you know the rule. If you have to ask, it is listed at $150,000.
Well, you know, I mean, the Panasonic 152 is like $500,000, so that seems like a bargain.
It is a bargain, and we've got plenty of interest of potential customers already looking at it and putting orders in. So we're excited about the 110. It's my favorite TV that's available this year.
Yeah. And then also in the booth, hopefully we get a shot of it a little later, an 8K.
Yes, we're calling it Quad UHD because 8K really refers to a resolution, but doesn't really get into the new color gamuts that we're talking about with UHD. So we wanted to stay away from calling out our TVs by their resolution. So we went with Quad UHD because it is the resolution of 4 UHD TVs, and we are showing that in a 98-inch, also in the same Timeless Gallery design as the 110-inch. So the speakers and some of the smart features are in the frame.
Now, you mentioned the other aspects of UHD, like expanded color gamut, wider dynamic range, brighter TVs, and the content that will hopefully include that information. Is that something that the Samsung TVs will be able to handle once the time comes?
Yes, the Samsung TVs are for this year, 2014, have the proper HDMI, HDCP, MHL 3.0. So we are ready. But one of the things that Samsung is very proud of is all of our UHD TVs are future ready. Meaning, if there is some newer technologies based on UHD that come out, customers can purchase a kit and upgrade their TV to the newer technologies. We're pretty certain on the resolutions, so those aren't going to change. So your panel is good. But if something changes with video processing, processing, HDCP, there will be a future-ready path for our customers.
The one thing I can't imagine that being able to affect is the bit depth of the panel itself.
Well, you're 100% right. The bit depth is locked in at what it is.
Which is 8-bit currently, right?
Currently, 8-bit is the standard on the panel, so it'll be limited to the colors by the panel. However, if the TV did receive something Rec. 2020, we would be able to downplay it to Rec. 709 and get it out in the proper color format. We've also added a feature on our curved UHDs, which is called Pure Color, which is an algorithm that gives us more accurate colors to the cinema experience.
So it still conforms to Rec. 709, the color gamut,
right?
But as I understand it, you have a more precise definition of those colors.
Absolutely. It's more precise, meaning we're not oversaturating certain colors to make it pop. We're really trying to give it to you as the director intended. And another excellent or exciting technology showing up in curved TVs is something that's called Auto Depth Enhancer. And what this is, and it's only available on our curved TVs in both HD and UHD, is a technology where the TV can recognize what's in the foreground, midground, and background, and has some algorithms to enhance, to make the things in the foreground pop and appear closer, giving you a 3D-like effect on a 2D TV.
Yeah, yeah. I did see an example of that, and it did look pretty cool. One last question for you. Now, as one of only two companies that make plasma, are you still going to make plasma going forward?
If you look in the preliminary product guide, plasma is still there. We are carrying over the 8500, which did very well for us.
And it's a beautiful TV.
Was an award winner with the super contrast panel, really giving the brightness of LED, which customers like. But what's important to me are the black levels and shades of gray in black to get those details. And our super contrast panel brings all that out.
Yeah.
Now, in UHD, we have something called UHD dimming, which is very similar to what we've had in the past, where it's micro dimming, where it breaks the screen up into little squares. And in video processing, we affect color, contrast, and detail enhancement in each little square to make sure we have the most precise contrast on the screen at any time.
Now, this is with LED LCD TVs.
This is with the UHD LED TVs, correct?
UHD, right. Mm-hmm. And I know that David Katzmeyer at CNET has really touted or thought very highly of the micro-dimming technology, even with the edge-lit TVs of the Samsungs, which I've always had a little bit of a problem with in terms of screen uniformity,
right?
But it seems like Samsung has finally gotten that pretty good.
Yeah, screen uniformity issues were a concern, in my opinion, 2 years ago. Last year, we've kind of perfected it. This year, it's even better. But, you know, for those that don't know what we're doing here is micro-dimming is in the video processing affecting color, contrast, and detail. However, we do have something called precision black. And what that is local dimming with edge-lit backlighting.
Yeah, so that's what Heath was referring to. I saw him at the pre-show event the other night, and we were talking about this. And he said, yeah, they finally got that right.
Yeah, we've done an excellent job. And now what happens is on an LED TV, you are getting plasma-like blacks, really leaving, kind of paving the way for the black levels that OLED is going to offer us in the future.
Yeah, yeah. We're in the Panasonic booth. I'm talking with Greg Lee, the training manager at Panasonic. And Panasonic's all about Ultra HD 4K this year, aren't they?
Well, if you walked around the booth, that's about all that it seems to be here. So they're talking about it from the consumer side, from the broadcast side, from the security side, from every side. So, yeah, we're definitely all about 4K Ultra HD.
So what TVs are you introducing at CES?
Well, we do have a new 4K Ultra HD that we're showing here at CES. This is coming off of our TV from last year, which was the first to have HDMI 2.0. So we are still going to be able to do 60 frames per second. And, of course, you know, 4K upconversion, 4K web browser, everything 4K.
What about sizes?
Well, sizes, we haven't really named everything, but we do have up to 65-inch models being shown here this year.
Well, we have this 85-inch right behind us, right?
True. We're not really saying anything about it specifically, but yes, we are showing larger than 65-inch panel sizes, but not necessarily model numbers yet.
And that does make some sense for resolution, doesn't it? I mean, we really do need bigger screen sizes in order to realize the full potential of UHD.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, most people are sitting too far away from their 1080p set. We really, with 4K, can sit half the distance, you know, to a 4K Ultra HD that we could to a 1080p. So 100 inches, 150 inches from 10 feet away, it's a perfect match.
Now, have you got HEVC decoding in the new set?
Of course. Who doesn't nowadays? So, yes, absolutely. We're going to H.265, and we'll see that in the units this year.
Now, there was another feature mentioned at the press conference yesterday, Life Plus Screen. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Life Plus Screen. You know, with TVs, you know, being an integral part of our lives already, Panasonic looked at how we were utilizing the TVs and those devices that connect to it to really kind of integrate them into our lives. So it's really, you know, an added benefit or a Life Plus, you know, screen, you know, supporting, you know, our lifestyles. You know, one of the things that's really nice is like on like the info bar. Scott, how many times have you found yourself, hey, I need to check the weather real quick. You run into the living room, you turn on the TV for 5 seconds, find the weather channel, and boom, oh, I know what I need to wear today. Well, with info, you know, our info bar, when you walk past our TV, it has a sensor that from 16 feet away, it sees your presence. And it says, hey, somebody's in the room. Let me see if they need any information. It'll show you things like the time, the date, you know, the weather, you know, broadcast. It'll also let you know if you have any messages. One of the things that, you know, we're promoting with Life Plus Screen is My Cloud, or the ability that when I'm away from my home and away from my TV, I could actually send myself or send somebody in my family a quick message or a video memo. And when I go past the info screen, it'll say, hey, you know, your wife has got a message here for you on the TV. So I stop, I pull it up real quick. I'm not even turning the television on. It's just a quick light up. A little bit of the screen lights up. And then when I depart it, it goes away. And if I want the extra information, I grab the remote, choose to, you know, pull it up and see what that memo was or anything, you know, that I want to do.
And you don't have to turn on the TV to do that?
No, I don't have to turn on the TV unless I really want to go into it and find out, you know, all the particulars. But it gives me that quick little info bar right out of the gate.
Here we are in the TCL booth, one of the big Chinese manufacturers. And I'm talking with Tom Heffernan, the director of marketing for the U.S. division of TCL. And the big news here is Roku built into a TV.
Yeah, we're really excited about this feature. We think, you know, it's a really great smart TV experience. It's fully integrated. It's a much more seamless experience than any other product on the market. Very easy to use and lots of great content, which, you know, you get with Roku, over 1,200 channels.
Oh, yeah. Roku is clearly one of the biggest names in streaming. And to integrate it into the TV so you don't have to have an extra little box or something, that's pretty big.
Right, yeah. All in one remote. So, again, it's an easy experience.
Cool. And when will this be available?
We're looking at second half of this year, but we'll firm that up as we get closer.
Now, this is in a full HD, 1080p TV, not an Ultra HD yet, right?
No, yeah, we don't have one yet in Ultra HD. Maybe that'll be coming. But, yeah, for this year, we're showing a full HD.
Now, you still have that. Last year, I remember you had the gigantic 110-inch. You still have that here at the in the show floor?
Yeah, of course. We got that right up front, the 110-inch. I think I've got a camera strapped to it, too, so you can see yourself on the 110-inch. I don't know if there's a lot of demand for that, but...
Well, yeah, you know. Anyway, well, putting Roku in a TV, I think, is a great idea, and congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'm in the Sharp booth talking with Jim Sandusky, Senior VP at Sharp, about the new TVs that you're introducing at CES. Now, you came out with four lines of TVs that we saw at the press conference yesterday. Give us a quick overview.
Sure. The quick overview is we do have four new lines, and all of them have their own unique resolution characteristics. So we start with our Aquos HD line, which is full 1080p.
And it goes up to 90 inches.
It goes up to 90 inches, which is the largest commercially shipping LED television in the United States today. And then also, as a next step, we have our Aquos Q televisions. And what distinguishes our Aquos Q televisions is they have the Sharp proprietary Quatron panel. And that adds a yellow subpixel to the standard red-green-blue palette.
You've had that for a couple of years now.
Indeed, we have. But we have a new line, new feature set to go along with it. But, you know, the increased resolution with the Quatron panel, by adding the yellow subpixel, we're adding 2 million additional subpixels to the panel. And then from there, we step up to what we call our Q Plus line. And this is what's really exciting about what we're bringing to market this year, because this is really unique to Sharp. What we're doing is we're taking the Quatron panel as a base, and we're actually splitting the pixels vertically and operating the upper half and the lower half independently, both from a brightness perspective as well as from a color perspective. And we're creating 10 million additional subpixels, which gives higher resolution. So at its core foundation, it's a 1080p panel, but we're delivering 10 million additional subpixels, and that's giving increased resolution. We call it the highest resolution full HD TV on the marketplace. And in addition, some other aspects about this technology is we have a built-in upscaler. So any content that you have today going through the upscaler looks even more brilliant with these 10 million extra subpixels. And these televisions are future ready. Each of the four HDMI inputs will accept a 4K signal. So, you know, you buy the television today, and in a couple years when 4K content is more readily available, feed that in via the HDMI input, and it will look spectacular.
Now, this is really an important point, I think, that these TVs are 1080p, but they have an effective vertical resolution of 2160, as you said, because the subpixels are all cut in half.
We split them in half. That's correct.
And you also increase the horizontal resolution by some other technical tricks, which we're not going to go deeply into here. But suffice to say that, you tell us sort of the overview of how the increased resolution in the horizontal plane works.
Yes. So horizontally, it is a little bit more difficult to explain, but to try to put it in as simple terms as I can, we're using an algorithm to dynamically adjust, depending on the picture content, to dynamically adjust the horizontal resolution. Essentially, because of the Quattron panel has four subpixels, red, green, blue, yellow, we're using the red and the blue pixels. We do pixel mapping, and so they share elements with neighboring pixels. And then we're using the green and the yellow subpixels as unique pixels, primarily for brightness. So, again, depending on the color that's on screen, we're dynamically able to have resolution as high as 3840.
And the important thing here, I think, to realize is that these TVs accept a UHD signal as they are, and display it, unlike a 1080p set, which would simply say, what?
Yeah, exactly. 1080p sets do not accept a 4K signal. You just get an error bar that says, you know, signal incompatible. Yeah. But our sets will display it in this extra 10 million subpixels resolution.
And so essentially you're getting a set that can display the 4K content at about, what, half the price of a true UHD?
It is. Our Q-Plus televisions will be priced as a premium 1080p television, and versus today's prices of premium 4K televisions in the market, about half the price. So it's a tremendous value for consumers that maybe aren't quite ready to make the full step to 4K because of prices, but want to be kind of future ready when 4K signals are more readily available.
And then finally, you do have a line of true UHD TVs as well.
Yes, we do. Yes, so we have a 70-inch in the marketplace. In fact, today's model is the only 70-inch in the marketplace, 16% greater screen area than competitive 65-inch product, and also one-third the price of the next larger 4K set, which is 84 inches. So great value. And what we announced here at the show is that we will be adding an additional screen size, 60-inch, to our 4K lineup. So we'll have two screen sizes, 60 and 70.
Hey, here in the Sharp booth, I ran into Mark Knox, an old friend of mine from the industry, who's now a consultant for Sharp, working on WiSA wireless audio products. This is very exciting. I've known about WiSA for some time, but this is the first show where we've actually seen product coming to market.
That's right. You've got product coming to market, and you've got some product right here, so we can even see on the inside, something that excites me, as you know, very much.
Yes, indeed, being the technologist that you are. So tell us a little bit about WiSA and what it means to the consumer.
WiSA stands for Wireless Speakers and Audio, and unlike the other wireless technologies that leap to mind, whether it's Bluetooth or Wi-Fi or any of another unlimited number of acronyms, yeah. WiSA is not designed to send music throughout the multi-rooms in your home or to the backyard. It's meant to send music from a source device, a transmitter, to a powered speaker with no wires required at all. So with an Optimum system, it really simplifies the process of setting up a true high-end audio listening system in your room.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, it will convey up to 8 channels of 96 kilohertz, 24-bit, uncompressed audio.
That is correct. This device right here, the 1000U, will transmit up to 96 kilohertz, 24-bit, 8 channels of audio, as well as simultaneously transmit 1080p HD at the 60 gigahertz frequency level.
Ah, so you're using the
wireless HD standard?
HD,
that's correct. We're using that standard to transmit wireless HD video, and then the WiSA standard to transmit wireless uncompressed audio so that you have a very simplified setup. One of the things that I've always found challenging in a two-channel environment, big monoblock amplifiers and fire hose speaker cables and fire hose AC cables, yeah. And now you've got to have the player somewhere up there, which is 15 feet from the sweet spot where you're sitting and want to listen. Now you could put the player to either side, and wirelessly it'll transmit to a powered speaker, and you can place speakers where you want them. You can have the player where you want it. And as a result, have a really optimized listening system at really high fidelity. And I think that's the other fundamental difference between Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, where the focus was convenience. The challenge was everybody's focused on convenience. So from car audio sensors to baby monitors to microwave ovens, everybody's using that spectrum. In WiSA, we're using a different spectrum called the Uniband, which is in the 5 gigahertz range. A little trickier because there's radar in there, so you've got to watch what's out there and make sure you do not interfere with those radar signals. But the benefit is you've got plenty of room and you can broadcast all that multi-channel audio.
Now, the other cool thing about this, this is the 1000U player. It's a universal player. It'll play Blu-ray, CD, DVD, SACD.
Yes, that is correct. And a number of the compressed formats, if you've got it on a disc or you've got it on a thumb drive, there's multiple USB ports for you to connect.
It's very exciting to see WiSA becoming to actual products. I know a lot of members of AVS Forum have been asking about it, and here is the first example.
Here's the first example of a player. Yeah. As you may know, there's a product from B&O that's already been shipping, where they have speakers and a subwoofer. And I know what I'm planning on in the near future for my system, but the other point that I think is important is Sharp has a long legacy in the audio environment, and it's not just technology or frequency response or dynamic range. Their engineers really do test and try out and experiment with different components and devices to optimize sound quality. And even one glimpse down at this device, the shiny gold Nichicon capacitors and the monster transformer and the disk drive that is isolated on a platform and so on, all that means is that we haven't just decided to use expensive components to deserve a higher price. We've taken the time to try to optimize the sound quality so you can, with pride, with the highest end system that you and your buddies ever sat down with, connect this and connect it wirelessly or wired, and you have a really genuinely high fidelity source for all of your music and video.
Now, what happens if you already have an amp that you like and speakers that you like? You said you could connect it wired, but I believe there's also a bridge.
There is a bridge. There's the 100U, which is a wireless bridge device with an analog line-level output. So you then would have to use your own amplifier and speakers. But I know a lot of folks like you that have a lot of amplifiers and speakers in their collection, so that would be one solution. To do a 5.1 system.
Now, this is not an inexpensive product.
Not an inexpensive product. Suggested retail price of $39.99. I think when you consider the build quality, the fact that it's doing wireless HD video as well as wireless audio, an amazing number of features that once you have your speakers placed, you tell the system where they are, it automatically compensates for positioning and delay and so on. There's a lot of benefit there. And we foresee that moving forward, there will be a lot of custom installers that will more knowledgeably take advantage of some of the more sophisticated capabilities here, and it will be a new solution. Instead of having to pre-wire Cat 5 to every room in the house, you can go in and all you have to worry about is that the AC outlets meet code. And as long as that room meets modern building codes, then you can do a 5.1 or 7.1 surround sound system very easily, because you're that close enough to an AC outlet to make it happen.
Hey, we couldn't leave the Sharp booth without checking out the 8K display here, which is displaying 8K native content, shot, I'm sure, by NHK. It's not a product that you can buy today or tomorrow or probably even this year, but it is stunning. My God, the detail is incredible. Standing even as close as I am right now, I cannot see the pixels. So it's a beautiful display and well worth your time. If you happen to be here at CES, come by and check it out. Hey, here at the Sharp booth, we have already seen the 85-inch 8K display. What we didn't see yet is the 85-inch 8K glasses-free 3D display right here behind me. It uses Dolby Vision, Dolby's version of glasses-free 3D, and it looks great as long as you're standing in the right place. There's two dots, two white
squares at the bottom of the picture, and you have to stand so that they're aligned. And once you do, you've really got a really nice 3D image without any glasses. Of course, when you move out of that alignment, then it starts looking a little weird. So you do have to be a little careful about where you're sitting, but once you're there, it's really quite remarkable. Hey, I'm standing in the Toshiba booth in front of a new panel that Toshiba has developed with a technology called Radiance 4K. It's full array local dimming, but what's really cool about it is that it uses Toshiba super bright LEDs to give twice the brightness of normal LED LCD TVs, which expands the dynamic range, which is one of the big stories here at the show. With a brighter white, you can have more realistic-looking highlights in the image. It's not like it's going to sear your retinas or anything. It's really more intended to produce a picture that looks more like real life. Now, this is going to be coming out in the summer in a couple of the premium models from Toshiba. This is a UHD, Ultra HD 4K, as it's often called. But it's also going to be in the top-of-the-line standard HD, now an oxymoron, with 1080p resolution as well. I'm very excited about high resolution, high dynamic range, because it really does make the picture pop really well and simulates real life much better. So Toshiba is one of the forefront of this, one of the companies, and it's bound to be quite impressive. So look for that this summer. Also in the Toshiba booth is a 105-inch ultra-ultra-wide, ultra-HD TV here. This is more of a concept product, and we've seen other 105-inch ultra-wide TVs with an aspect ratio of 21:9 or 2.35:1, but in all the other cases, they're curved. Toshiba is the only one that I've seen so far, anyway, that has a flat one. And it has 5,120 pixels across and 2160 up and down, so they're calling it 5K, which must be better than 4K, right? I'm in the Stream TV Networks booth, where they're showing glasses-free 3D. We've seen this before, but we've got some interesting updates to bring to you about this technology. I'm talking with Walter Ruhlen, the CEO of the R&D arm of Stream TV, also known as C-Cubic. Yep. Tell us... First of all, bring us up to speed on the technology. How does this work exactly? Glasses-free 3D. We've seen lenticular screens in the past with very well-defined viewing cones, and if you move out of the proper spot, it looks all weird. How have you solved these problems?
We solved this problem by rendering fractional views, small parts of views, and constructing sort of a light field, something that happens in a hologram as well. We reuse subpixel information, so the smallest dot on the screen is a red or a green or blue dot. We reuse parts of that subpixel to generate view information. And that view information is such that on the view field, you always have two views that are complete for the two eyes. So you see stereoscopic and thus 3D.
But so how are the two eyes separated, though, and isolated from each other?
Now, physically, there is a light field there where you are at your viewing distance, which contains all that viewing information. So it's left, right, and if you move, that same right view becomes a left for that position, and there's a next right.
So each view could be left or right, depending on where you're sitting.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, that's so amazing.
That's what happens in real life as well. If I move this way, my views change a little, but still my eyes are left and right. Yeah.
But the view didn't change. It did. The view changed when you moved.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, I got you.
And so you have, alongside that we render stereoscopic, we also have a little motion parallax, as we call it. If you move, objects move in respect to each other in your view. That happens here as well.
How long did it take to develop this?
I've been in this holography stuff since 79, so that's quite a long time. Yeah. But with television and the digital displays, I've been working with this for 7 years.
Now, Stream TV Networks and this technology, which is called Ultra D, is now to be found in some televisions on the market, right?
Yes, we've partnered with some major... television manufacturers, Hisense, Haier, Konica, BUE, so there's a lot out there that are going to implement this technology in their TV for consumers. Yeah.
And another big announcement here at the show is that you have taken this technology, the electronics of it anyway, and distilled it down into a single chip.
Yeah, well, the challenge was how can we reuse the 2D information that is available? All the TV stations are not equipped for 3D. So we build a device, which we call the C-Cube, which renders 2D into 3D, stereoscopic into 3D, and displays that on our TV. But the consumer, or also the industry, doesn't want a PC or any sort of logic.
One more box.
No. So we've teamed up with Qualcomm and managed to put all that functionality in one SoC. We have a demonstration over there. And that will fit in the TV. So you won't have a different device next to the TV. Just hook it up and you'll see 3D.
Fantastic. It looks great. I'm very impressed by it. As long as you're at the right distance. I notice when I'm sitting a little too close, things get a little wavy.
Yes, that's true. The optimized viewing distance is where the couches are. Yeah. But we'll have a knob in the remote later on to set the optimal viewing distance to the liking of the customer. But still, you have a range of 1 meter 50 to 3 meters, so it's quite forgiving. Yeah.
Well, that's it from CES 2014. I hope you've enjoyed this wild and woolly tour, bumping elbows with 150,000 of our closest friends. Next week, I will have a panel of journalists on to talk about what we all saw and heard here at the show, and it'll be at our new time, Thursday, January 16th, 2:30 p.m. Pacific Time. And I do hope you will join me for that. Until then, geek out.